Hello, my name's Jim, I'm an addict.
Hi, Jim.
Thanks for asking me to come and do this. It's a pleasure to be able to come and speak at an NA meeting, wherever it is. I will give the obligatory... I do feel differently about this one because of the volume of people that are in the room. So I will, you know, give the obligatory, I do feel a bit nervous sort of thing. But I don't have the luxury of spending 5 or 10 minutes on that. So I just have to get that one out there and just try and get on with it. I suppose the goal is to succinctly and eloquently sum up my recovery in 15 minutes, which is pretty much impossible. Well, I think of stuff like that, and one of the things, actually, not just in NA meetings, but just in life, that helps me to get a bit of perspective around that is, and I didn't have this when I first got here, I have it more now, sometimes I have it really strongly, is that I've got a different outlook, I suppose, on life and my place in my life. So when I think in terms that there's a lot going on in the world right this second, there's a lot going on in the universe that none of us know about or will ever know about, and it helps me to just get things in perspective a little bit. So this matters, I believe that, because I know when I was in my first NA meetings, I can't remember what people said, but I remember that they were there, and I remember how I felt about it. So this matters, but it doesn't matter more than everything else. So it helps me to be a bit cooler about it, I think. In those first NA meetings, I didn't find NA. Like, NA came and found me, like a lot of people. I'd sort of washed up in a detox, hopefully for the last time, and people, NA members, voluntarily came into that detox, as well as all sorts of other institutions to carry the message. I didn't know anything about NA, I'd never heard of it. People who I used with, certainly in my hometown, I'm from Swindon originally, people didn't get clean, or if they did, I didn't know anything about it. And I think particularly about people who I grew up with, who used and we used together. And when I come and do a share at a meeting, and in other areas of my life where I have those moments of reflection on how much my life has been changed, sometimes, I don't know if this is the right way of sort of describing it, but sometimes it feels like survivor's guilt or something. And guilt's probably not the right word, you know, I don't feel guilty necessarily, but... And I know everyone in here knows people who aren't here, so... And it's nice to remember that from time to time. For me, it's, like, it puts me in a good space, like, with, when I'm doing this stuff, like. So, yeah. I don't know why, like, so when I come in and say, oh, hello, I'm Jim, I'm an addict, I'm really comfortable saying that now. I don't often think too much about it, what is an addict. I don't even think there's that much value in me trying to figure out why I'm an addict and my... I can look at it and I think that, yeah, there's some evidence that it might run in the family. But not everyone in my family is sort of like I am, you know, so... I don't spend much time thinking about that now. What I do know is, and here are some facts, that when I use, regardless of what I put into me, any narcotic, and I include alcohol in that, I don't know why, but something happens to me where I really quickly, especially it got quicker and quicker the longer I used, I just don't have the element of control over it, and I can't guarantee you when I will stop. I can't guarantee what I'll do when I'm under the influence of drugs. But also, really importantly as well, when I have stopped, I can't guarantee how long I'll be able to stay stopped for. And that was something that I knew I had a problem with drugs because I couldn't stop taking them. I did think my problem was with a specific drug because I was physically dependent on it, but I didn't have any sort of education or experience of being around people who thought of addiction in something that was rooted in my mind, maybe even in my being or in my spirit or something like that. I certainly never got exposed to anything like that. I just had that thing of, well, you're clean now, that's it. And I believed that too. So I couldn't ever figure out why I kept using. I've been clean loads of times. I've never left an institution with a habit, but I always used again. And so when H&I came into that detox the last time, like I said, I don't remember them talking about spiritual maladies or anything like that. I just felt something different. I believed them. And everyone else who I'd spoken to about my addiction, I didn't really believe what they were saying. It's not their fault. I'm sure it says more about me than it does about them. But I found something in NA that I hadn't found anywhere else before. So when I came out of that place, I carried on coming to NA meetings. This was one of the first meetings that I came to, actually. And since then, that was 8 years ago. I haven't been clean for 8 years. And to sum up, I think to sum up why I haven't been clean for 8 years is that in 5 years, the first 5 years, purely out of fear and desperation, not for the first 5 years, but initially out of fear and desperation, and the fact I had nowhere else to go, literally nowhere else to go, I just came to an AA meetings, and I met people in the meetings, again, who had just magnified those feelings that I'd had in the H&I meetings. I met particularly men who I believed what they were saying, and also they liked things that I liked, and they knew more about things that were important to me than I knew about, and I thought they were all right. And so I asked one of those people to sponsor me, and he did. He did what he said he would do, which was guide me through the steps, and that was the first time I went through them. And I stayed clean, not just off coming to meetings, but doing everything that it was suggested that I did. And my life became unrecognisable, even within probably 6 months. Like, to the people who care most about me, it was unrecognisable almost immediately. I wasn't getting arrested, I wasn't living outside, I was speaking to people, they knew I was safe and that sort of thing. But certainly within a year, I was doing things that I never thought I would be capable of doing. And by that, I just mean I was doing things that everybody else does. And probably within a year, like, I'd got a job and stuff like that, and no one, they wouldn't have known where I'd come from. I think a lot of that came from going through the steps, but also being involved in groups and attending things like business meetings and going to ASCs, where I was forced to learn how to interact with people. That's a really important part of it for me. And so you might be thinking, well, why hasn't he been clean for 8 years then? In a nutshell, I stopped doing that stuff. And I'll sit here now and I maintain I never for a minute thought, I don't really feel like doing this stuff anymore. I had all these things, lovely things in my life, other things that I wanted to give my attention to, and without even noticing it happening, I slowly stopped coming to meetings as much, maybe over the course of about a year. And what happened was, I went to the pub, which I've been to many times before. I feel quite free to go wherever I want. I don't feel like I can't go to certain places. But this time I went there, and the thought of having a drink crossed my mind, and I had nothing to defend against it. I didn't, you know, when people say, I had nothing in the bank. And within 10 minutes, I was pissed. And I didn't see it coming. And I honestly thought, it would be different this time, I reckon. I reckon things will be different this time. And it sounds insane saying that. And it was insane. Because I did think it was going to be different. Anyway, it wasn't a very good experience. And straight away, I had that thing was just in me again. And luckily, I was right out in the sticks. And I got really ill. Off 4 pints of pale ale. And so that sort of put 24 hours between me and that relapse. And then I came back to London and straight away came back, and a friend of mine has taken me through the steps since. That was 2 years ago, nearly 2 years ago now. And so that's just five... Is that counting down?
No, you've got 5 minutes.
I've got 5 minutes. All right, thanks, Penny. Yeah, well, I've just wound it up now. This can be like the extras, can't it? Yeah. So I did forget that this gets recorded, actually, but I haven't sworn, so I don't really swear all that much. I was listening to that Johnny Cash album when he's in Folsom Prison, and he was asked not to swear. He just swore anyway, he didn't care. But I care. That's the difference between me and Johnny Cash. It's one of them, one of the differences. And so I think what I'll start to wrap up on is that when I look at what my life is like today, I remember being sat in that detox, and there was a woman who's one of us. She, any sort of society or fellowship is only as strong as the sum of its parts, isn't it? And we're the sum of NA's parts, certainly in this sort of area of London or whatever. And there was a woman in there, loads of you know her, and we sat down together, and I was in a place where, and I know people can relate to this, and I know in this room there's a higher percentage of people that can relate to this than there are when I go out with my mates from football or at work and stuff like that, I felt, for the first time in my life, I felt like I had absolutely no purpose. And I couldn't see... I never thought I wouldn't want to use drugs again. Because when I first started taking them, like I said, I'm from Swindon, and you sort of think of that as the gateway to the West Country, if you like. And when I was younger, like not like 14 sort of young, when me and my mates first started taking drugs together, it was incredible. It was incomparable. There's nothing that I can think of that compared to that initial feeling of camaraderie between me and my mate. I might have got in music and maybe in football, but when we were doing that together, you used to be able to go into town and of a night time and evening, there'd be a fella walking round and he had an urn of mushroom tea and you could just buy that for 50p a pop. And it felt magical, that's how it felt. Magic with a C and a K. And so I never thought it would stop doing that for me. And when it did, it was the rudest awakening I'd ever had. And so when I think about, oh, the drugs stopped working for me, if I took enough of this or that, I still like might get the physical effects. I know tolerance goes up and down and that, but it wasn't putting that sort of pain of misty glass between me and the reality of what I'd made my life anymore, and I couldn't live with it. I couldn't live with, that's the only way I can describe it, I couldn't live with how I felt, and I got so desperate I asked someone for help. So I ended up in that detox, and she said to me, I don't know why they ask you this. Maybe it's for this reason, actually. She said, oh, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I just started crying. And I didn't want to cry, of course. Because I couldn't see where I was going to be in 5 years. And I've never felt that hopeless. And I didn't know it was possible to feel that hopeless. And so to think that in a few short years, not only could I have hope, but I could actually have a life and experience things like love. Like, I think that's a miracle. Like, for me, for my concept of whatever it is, that's a miracle. And I don't believe in God, and yet, before this, I went and, like, spoke to God in the toilet, so make of that what you will. It's one of the things that I like about this place, this fellowship, thanks, Penny, is that I feel like there's a branch, if you like, which is important to all of us, that we all need to do. If we identify with the description of an addict in there are certain things we're all going to have to do. But then the rest of it is really open to however I want to practice areas of this programme. And there's nothing in there that says that, in fact, step 11, a lot of it in there really encourages me to go and explore other avenues of spirituality if that's going to make me comfortable with being comfortable with a power greater than myself, higher power, God, whatever you want to call it. And that's been important to me as well, I think. So I've never really found anything like this. There are things that I have in my life that I really get a lot from, but a lot of them are solitary pursuits. So this, on sort of a social level as well as giving me this blueprint for living, I think it's written down somewhere. This gives me, or has given me and continues to give me, so much more than what I thought I came here for in the beginning. And I like that because I thought I'd learn everything worth knowing. I thought I had every tool that I was going to need for the life that I was living by the time I was about 21. And I've been proved, been proved very wrong on that. And so for somebody who came here with no hope, no prospects as well, there was no way I was going to stay stopped using, NA has given me that hope and it's helped me to just build a life, and all I have to do is maintain it. And definitely maintaining St. Paul's Cathedral is easier than building it. So when I think of it like that, that's pretty good actually, I just thought that. And, and I don't suppose, like, if there's anyone new in here, I don't, you know, I know how it is, you know, you probably won't remember anything I said. Of course you could listen to it. But probably the best advice that I can give to myself is that don't believe everything you think. Because if that's where the problem is, I can't always go there for the solution by myself. Yeah, boom, 0 seconds. Thanks very much. Thank you.